Welcome to the History Forward podcast. I'm Rachel Kulik, Curriculum Officer and Sessional Lecturer. Here, you will get inside stories from recent alumni on their educational journeys and what motivated and shaped their career paths. The purpose of this podcast is to raise awareness of the exciting and diverse careers achieved by undergraduate alumni of historical studies programs as told through their own voices, and to help inspire you to think about who you want to become and the skills you can bring forward. Thank you so much for joining in today. Now, let's talk history. Welcome back to the History Forward podcast. My name is Rachel Kulik, and today I'll be speaking with Hamad Janejo. Hamad completed his Bachelor of Arts from the University of Toronto with a specialist in history and a minor in classical civilization. He has served as a research assistant within the history department, interned at the Royal Canadian Military Institute, and published a book on the accounts of a Canadian veteran of the Second World War. Currently, he is a history teacher at a private high school where he teaches 19th and 20th century European history. Thank you so much, Hamad, for joining the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
I already revealed some of this information to our listeners in the introduction, but what is your connection to the Department of Historical Studies? Which program did you complete? When did you graduate?
So I graduated in 2019. I did, as you mentioned, I did a specialist in history, and I also did a minor in classical civilizations. Beyond that, I think you also mentioned most of the most relevant or interesting information, I suppose, would be there's all kinds of seminar classes. There's all kinds of like outside the classroom experience that you can get at the history department. So I did an internship course, and basically you're assigned to one relevant kind of historical site throughout the GTA. So I know some people interned at the Holocaust Memorial somewhere in North York. I went to the Royal Canadian Military Institute. So it's on University Avenue, I think, downtown. And it's essentially a military museum. So I had a great time there. I also was a research assistant for Professor Boris Grubasik. And I did a ton of research on the Hellenistic Age.
Could you tell us a bit about where you're from and how you ended up coming to study at UTM and to do these courses?
So I was an international student. I grew up in Karachi, Pakistan. I attended high school over here, and it was in high school that I kind of developed my interest in history. And I figured that that's exactly what I wanted to do in university and after that. And so the reason I moved to Canada and the reason I came to U of T specifically, I suppose, is for two reasons. Well, primarily because there's not really very many good history programs over here. And I had heard a lot about, you know, Canadian universities, and I did my research. And so initially I went, I attended my first year and a half at the University of Calgary, where I also was doing a history program. And I also really liked it over there. And then I got the opportunity to move to Toronto in 2016. And so it was at that point that I transferred from the University of Calgary to the University of Toronto, the Mississauga campus. And that's where I graduated from. But essentially, it was a lack of opportunities for studying history over here. But also, it was the fact that I'd heard some great things about history programs at U of T as a whole. And just the fact that it is U of T, so it is internationally renowned and recognized worldwide. So,
excellent. Thank you. I was wondering if you can speak a bit more about your studies here at UTM and why your program, your historical studies program, was a good fit. So you mentioned that you were already interested in history. How did that fit in? How did your interests fit in with the programs?
So essentially, the way that I had thought about history before I started university was I was primarily interested in 20th century European history. So I was super interested in the Second World War. That's something that I really wanted to, and I still do want to kind of continue on with in my postgrad at some point in time. And that the Second World War and the Cold War, those were like my primary areas of interest. And when I started UFT and I saw the list of courses, I realized that, no, there's like all kinds of interesting fields that I can now take classes on. And they're like, classes are usually, at least at the history department, most of them were a semester long class. They weren't like a full year long class. So it wasn't even like a huge commitment that you have to be there for a full year on the off chance that you're not interested in whatever the subject is. I started taking courses in everything and anything that interested me. And so that's kind of how I fell into classics. So essentially at UFT, you don't need, if you do a specialist, you don't, that's it. You don't need to do a major or minor on top of that. But I had taken a introduction to Roman history with Professor Benlin. And I was so interested in classics after that, that I started taking even more classics courses. And it was there that I also met Professor Krubasik, and I did intro to Greek history. And I realized that there's so many fields of history that I had never even thought about studying or had thought about looking into, just not even realized that these could be interesting fields to go into. And so it was the freedom that the history department offers in terms of courses that you can take almost anything that you want to. You can study any field, any area, any time that that's available. So that's kind of what really did it for me when it came to you, when it came to the history department. I just was really happy that I could pick and choose whatever I wanted to. It wasn't restricted in any way. You have to complete a certain amount of requirements for your specialist or major or minor. But by and large, there's just so much freedom to do whatever you want to do over there. And that's kind of why I was really happy with my time over there. I would also say that the professors at the department, and I believe that is one of your questions further on, but the professors are also great at the department. They obviously know their field extremely well, but even beyond that, they're really, the way they teach, the way they respond to questions, the kind of conversations and discussions that you can have with them, make it really fulfilling to be there. Whether it's just a discussion as a whole about history as a field or very specific to the topic that you're studying in class that week or that day, they always seem to be willing to take out time to answer questions or just have discussions. And I think that really sets this department aside, for me at least.
So you spoke about the influence that these professors had and their teaching styles. And now you currently work as a teacher of history in a private high school. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about your current job and how your experiences, whether it's through observing other people teach history or in learning history, how this has affected your own current role and your own teaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you mentioned, I teach history at a high school level. So that's for students between, my students are between 15 and 18. So I teach four different year groups. And they all are taught different subjects, but essentially it's primarily 20th century European and a little bit of 19th century European as well. So the way that the history department helped me in this regard is it's really easily transferable because I'm sitting in class and I'm listening to people who know a lot about what they're talking about. And it's not just the knowledge that you take away, right? Because obviously you can learn a lot about whatever you're studying in that class, but it's also the kind of methods that they used to get that information across to you effectively. It's also their teaching styles, right? Because they find, most of them at least, find a way to kind of keep your attention no matter what. No matter what they're talking about, they'll find a way because that's what they have to do. And they do it really well. And so it was really easy for me to kind of notice that and also use those kinds of things to keep my students interested in what I'm talking about. So it really did work out pretty well for me in that regard, I think.
I was wondering if you could also tell us how you began your role as a teacher after graduation. How did you go from being an undergraduate student to now being a teacher yourself?
So essentially, I took a few months off after graduation because I wanted to. I figured I had spent my entire life up until that point studying through middle school, high school, and now university. And I wanted to take a few months aside. And so I did. But the problem with that for me was the timing. The second I was done with my break and I started to look around, COVID essentially broke out pretty much that same month or a month after. And so obviously that really made my job very hard. But I was looking, for the most part, I was using LinkedIn. I think that that's a pretty good place to start. And I was speaking to people that I had, I was just networking with people that I had met in my time over there. So at the museum that I had interned at, and various other historians at heritage sites in the GTA that I had known. And I had started speaking to them. And so, I mean, they had painted a very grim picture of COVID, which obviously at that time in 2020, it was a very bad time. But essentially for me, I got lucky because after a certain point, I heard about this opportunity and I wanted to move back home as well because I'd been away for about 7-8 years. And I heard of this opportunity from this high school because their history teacher was leaving to pursue her master's. And so I got in touch with them and I applied and I had a demo where I taught one of their classes and they supervised me and observed me. And about a week or two after that, I got an offer and that's how I essentially started. And yeah, when I started, I was actually still in Toronto. And so I was teaching at like 2 or 3 in the morning because of the time zone difference. So that was interesting. But after about 2 or 3 weeks of doing that, I did move back here. And then I've been on a normal time schedule.
It's really helpful to hear where you searched for jobs and that you took time off first and then were able to get a great position. And doing this all remotely, nonetheless, was possible. You already spoke a bit about some of your professors at UTM. I was wondering if there was a particular professor or course that shaped the direction in which you went with your book research or towards teaching or towards future career goals that you have. You mentioned that you knew what you wanted to do all along going into university, and you ended up already publishing a book out of university. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Could you speak a bit more on this subject?
Absolutely. So yeah, there's, by and large, all the professors that I ever had at UTM were great. I didn't have a single complaint about any of them. Sure, there were some that were more interested in topics that I was more interested in. So it made it easy for me to kind of take an interest, but they were all great. And I think the professors at UTM tried really hard to work with you. Whether that was something as simple as giving an extension for an assignment because you were really, you know, overburdened with a lot of other work at the time, or just, like I said, having discussions with you about history as a field or your topic, all the professors were great, but there's definitely two that played a really big role in my own development as a history student and now as a teacher. The first one in the history department was Professor Krabasik, Boris Krabasik. After I took that intro to Roman history course with Professor Bemlin, I wanted to take a Greek history course. And so I started, I took that. And I was so interested in Greek history or ancient Greek history as a whole that I then decided to take a minor on top of that, which I didn't need to take. It just added extra I just had to do some more work for it. But I was more happy about it because the field was just so interesting. I felt like I had no other option than to do this. And I honestly, at a certain point, was also thinking about doing a major in classics on top of the specialist, but that would have added a semester or two on top of my 4 years. So I was like, I don't want to do that. So Professor Krabasik was really fundamental in shaping kind of how I am as a historian, because the way that we look at like sources in class together, the kind of classes that he had, because he would do these very interactive kind of discussions in class where it would be mostly the students speaking and he would kind of guide the discussion, but he would let us kind of figure it out on our own and he would help us. He was just really good at keeping everyone listening to him. His teaching style was really, really effective in presenting information to you. If I had a question about any given topic or an assignment or a research paper, I knew that I could email him and he'd tell me when his office hours were and I'd go to him and he'd take as long as he had to sit and discuss my paper. he'd be okay with me submitting it early for him to kind of take a look at the first draft, really work through all that kind of stuff. He helps me figure out how to ask the right questions of a source, especially a primary source, which is obviously really essential when studying history. He really helped kind of get it into me about, you know, what are the questions I should be asking? What are the questions any good historian should be asking of these kinds of sources? And then he also really helped me become a better researcher, because I remember, this is kind of small, I don't know why, when I was in my first few years at university, I always tended to gravitate towards books. And he was the one who told me, he was like, look at journals, because that's the most up-to-date recent research on whatever you want to study. And it's really good. And it's also easier to find because you can do it from your own laptop at home. You don't need to go to the library for that. And yeah, it's the most up-to-date information. It was something as small as that, but also just telling me, you know, this is how you find this. Think about it like this. Go about it like that. And so he really helped me figure out how to research better. And obviously becoming a better researcher is great as a whole, but especially in history, it's really important to know how to find the right sources for what you want to talk about. So he was really great in that regard. I was a research assistant for him. So I did research on the Hellenistic age for him. And I spent a great amount of time at Robarts downtown doing just that. And it was a learning curve, but it was a great time. So like I said, research as a historian is something essential. And him helping me kind of figure out how to do that better really helped me out in the long run. Because now I know how to find things that maybe a lot of other people would take longer to find. And the second that I would say is not in the history department, but he also played an immense role in my development as a student. And that is Professor Robert Price. He was in the professional writing and communication department at UTM. I started taking courses with him initially just because, A, they sounded like a lot of fun, but also because I thought as a whole, I wanted to improve my writing. Writing is obviously another really important part of being a history student. And so I wanted to improve my writing as a whole. And so after taking one or two courses with him, I saw that he was offering a third course on, it was called History and Writing. And he's not a historian, but he was also really interested in history. And so my book kind of started as a classroom project where we basically had to become investigative journalists. We had to go out and find local histories that nobody had kind of talked about before. Again, from my own previous interest in the Second World War, I really had always wanted the chance to talk to someone, a veteran of the war, someone who had actually been there, because we read about these events through our own modern day eyes, right? There's a huge degree of separation between the events so far back and now. We don't understand necessarily what they could have been, and to relate and to be better in my own field, I wanted to speak to someone. So through that class, I got to speak to a veteran at Sunnybrook Veterans Center, also in North York. So I went over there and I spoke to this veteran, a man by the name of Harry Preston. And I had three interviews with him, and I wrote out his story essentially, and I submitted it to Professor Price. At the end of the semester, everything was said and done. And he told me to come back after the summer break to talk more about getting it published, because he thought that there was some potential in it. Then we sat down and we spent about a year, year and a half editing it and putting it together for publication. And then we finally did get it published. So Professor Price, I think he saw potential in me. So, I mean, I think that's something that I am grateful for. But he was also really, his style of teaching is something that I think I really did look up to, because he has this humorous element in his classes where he teaches but then interjects with his own stories. It really holds the entire class's attention really well. And yeah, he was just absolutely great as a professor in every regard. And he really helped me out. My writing definitely improved as a whole, even in the history department after these classes. And the kind of research I did by actually having to go find somebody, sending out emails, finding a veteran to speak to who'd be willing to speak to me, and then having interviews with him was a whole different kind of research that I had never done before. And so that gave me a ton of experience as well. So yeah, I mean, in terms of teaching, because now I'm a teacher, I could really, not easy, but I can at least try to emulate what professors like Professor Krubasik and Professor Price are like in their classes, and try to implement that in my own classes so that I can do my job better. There's definitely great professors here. These two had the biggest impact on me.
That's great to hear about these two different experiences with these two different professors. I'm also interested in hearing about your process of your writing your book. It's a big deal to write a book, this book, which is telling a history that's never been told before. What is it like publishing a book? What was your biggest challenge in publishing your book?
So it's time consuming. That's probably the first thing I would say. It took a lot of time because my book is also extremely short. It's only about 60 to 70 pages. It's not very long at all. So I finished the first draft in 4 months, a semester. I spent about a year to a year and a half editing it. I would go through the entire thing. I'd pick up a chapter, I'd edit it, I'd send it to my professor, Professor Price, who would then send it back to me with a bunch of edits about, here, change this, add this, change that. This part needs some more elaboration, or remove this, or any kind of edits, and he'd send it back to me. And then I would take a day, add those edits in, then I'd send it back, and then he'd do it again. And so we just kept sending each other emails back and forth for about a year, just working on the entire process. And it was also different because for the classroom, it was like I had to make a certain effort to obviously fulfill the requirements of the assignment. But when I was doing it for publication, there was a lot more that needed to go into it. So I then took time to do even more research. So I picked up more books. I picked up more secondary sources. I spoke to Professor Rebecca Whitman, who is the head of the history department at UTM. And I interviewed her because she is extremely knowledgeable and she's a specialist in the history of the Holocaust, for example. So I interviewed her and asked her about the Allied response to the Holocaust and finding out about the concentration camps and why they didn't do anything earlier. And so I added her interview, and then I spoke to the curator at the museum that I was interning at, and I asked him if he was willing to speak too. And so he wrote the introduction for the book, and I got his knowledge on it as well. And he had a read through it and told me, here, you can add this, change this. And so it was a lot of back and forth with different people doing more research. And so I was doing this at a time when I was also taking classes. So I also had to do classwork, and then I had to go back at night, and then I had to do more research. And so it was time consuming. It was difficult, but it was fun as well at the same time to be able to get that process done.
Congratulations again on the publication. Would you be willing to share the title of the publication?
I can send you the link as well, but the title is The Last War That Had to Be Fought. That is essentially a quote that I got from Mr. Preston, but I thought it was perfect for the title as well, because it kind of ties in with my belief of, yes, that was a war that had to be fought because of kind of what it stood for, because of what the Nazis stood for and the kind of destruction in Europe. And it was very different from the First World War, right? Which is the only other comparison on that scale that we have. And the Second World War was so different. It was just violence on a completely different scale, on civilians specifically. And so I really liked that when I heard it from him in one of the interviews, I was like, yes, I know this is exactly what the title is going to be.
So shifting gears a little bit now to the last question I have. Do you have any advice that you would like to share with students considering a history or historical studies program?
Absolutely, yes. So what I would say in terms of advice for prospective students is, as a whole, I would say a lot of people really worry about not knowing what they want to do. And this is not something specifically for just history students, but students as a whole, because I knew a lot of people, a lot of my friends didn't know what they wanted to do in university. But I think you've seen that regard is makes your life much easier because it lets you in your first year kind of take courses in whatever interests you, and then you can declare your major after. So you have an idea of what interests you. But for history specifically, what I would say is, A, the department is great because you have so much freedom to take whatever interests you. You can study 19th century Europe, you can study 20th century Europe, you can go even further back, you can study the French Revolution. There's history on, I think Professor Cowan teaches courses on Caribbean history, if I'm not wrong. So there's courses that you can take on almost any part of the world. And then there's the classics department, there's ancient history that you can go into. And so I would say that most people would be able to find at least something that they are interested in at their time at UTM. And I would also say history as a field, because Professor Elspeth Brown kind of explained this to me. She was like, history is also a lot about the skills that you take away, not just necessarily the knowledge, because you can pick up a book and you can read about any given time. But the skills that you learn in history class, whether that's writing, researching, or the ability to critically analyze, to think, are things that you can apply or transfer to very many different places, different fields. You don't necessarily have to become a historian or an author or a professor right after. You can apply these kinds of skills that you learn at the history department elsewhere, which are, like I said, really easily transferable. That would be my advice. And also that the professors, like I've mentioned, absolutely great. And I would say that because the department is, from what I remember, slightly smaller than at least other departments, it's also easier to have a kind of relationship with your professors, to kind of have conversations, discussions, and they are willing to help you. They are willing to help you not only in classwork, but as a whole. So I think definitely for the professors is also a great idea to go to UTM.
I'm very impressed by your jumping into teaching right away, because I felt that it took me years to learn how to teach while I was doing my PhD. So kudos to you for taking this on.
Thank you. Like I said, I think I've been really lucky. I had an epiphany when I was in the seventh or eighth grade that I knew that I wanted to teach history. And so I've kind of had that aim in my mind for as long as I can remember. And I was really lucky. I know that for a fact. The history department really helped me get to the point where I was comfortable in knowing that I have the knowledge to teach a certain topic. And also the professors helped me kind of have an idea of the kind of teacher that I want to be, and what I want my students to learn, what I want them to be like when they're done with my courses.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your experiences today, Hamad. I really appreciate your being part of this podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you.
If you enjoyed this episode and you know someone who would also enjoy this episode, please pass it on to them or share it with your friends. Like it, click the follow button, or enter your email on the blog to receive podcast updates. Thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to having you tune in next time to History Forward.